Coming up this week on the Course of Life podcast, I have a weird and long-time connection to a familiar face that finally got a win for the first time in a while in Japan at the Zozo, plus the Live Tour with some more egg-on-face memeable moments from last week and much more from the world of golf, including Boom Boom getting it done. We're tuned into a huge movie role announcement and an adventure from my co-host, and this week's guest is pro golfer Kaylin Henderson, who is starting her pro career this year. She's done some really cool work with the Golf Channel and puts out some really cool content around the game as well, too. Love checking in with her. And it's my Illinois trip recap in food and a champagne problem for Mike when we always end with food. All of it brought to you by our friends at Desert Fox Golf. They're the makers of the Phone Caddy. And it's officially the time when I start turning into a holiday Christmas shopping salesman, Mike. I've decided that
Since October.
All the other retailers did it this past week, so we're doing it now. The Desert Fox Phone Caddy is and always will be the go-to stocking stuffer for any golfer in your life. Right now, you're at that moment where you're about to start thinking of or you start buying Christmas gifts. This is the stocking stuffer to easily get for your golfers in your life. No matter who you know, they will love it. It fits right onto any golf cart and it makes holding their phone safe and easy to get on the course. So check out desertfoxgolf.com. Save 10% with promo code CourseOfLife. Again, 10% off promo code CourseOfLife and get your stocking stuffers with Desert Fox Golf today.
Hello, interwebs, and welcome to Course of Life. We are proud to be presented by our friends at Desert Fox Golf and Tee Up Golf. I'm Michael, he's Alex. And Alex, it was 2015 out there at the Zozo Championship in Japan, where Ricky Fowler was a 54-hole leader, followed right behind by Keegan Bradley. And it was just like old times, except Keegan Bradley was taking about 10 hours over every putt because of the way he putts now. But he ended up pulling out, coming from behind, first win since 2019 or so for Keegan Bradley. We kept thinking he was knocking on the door this year. He was playing really well, and it finally came together for him. So the question I have, as all these opening segments seem to go, where I state a fact and then we ask a question, is Keegan Bradley back? Or is Ricky Fowler back?
You know what? I'm going to go ahead and say that maybe I'm going to be optimistic and say Ricky Fowler's back, because I don't think that Keegan Bradley ascended far enough down to be needing to come back. I think Ricky really needed this week, maybe even more than Keegan. I know Keegan was very emotional having won
very much so,
for the first time in 3 years, but Ricky really desperately needed to see something in the form of a full week where he put it together. It's funny that it had to happen halfway around the world in the middle of the night when not a ton of golf fans may have been watching during football season as we are now. But it was compelling to see Ricky not only hitting the ball well, but getting it done on the greens again, which is when we remember him at his best. He was so great, but it ended up being Keegan, who, like I say forever, I have the ultimate high school connection with. I played high school golf against him and he kicked my butt in state championships. And here he is after all these years getting it done again on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, and his emotion is certainly overflowing. His last one was actually in 2018 at the BMW Championship.
Yes, okay.
Back then, so obviously coming a long way to get back into the winner's circle. I think the difference between saying maybe Keegan's back to Ricky's back to me is like Keegan has been playing so well this year and was knocking on the door for most of the year for several times that it, you know, he just needed to maybe finally open the door. He was always knocking, whereas Ricky is finally kind of standing there and knocking on it.
He's one of those pinnacle guys you need in contention for golf to be great. He's a fantastic brand. And no matter what you think about where his game's gone, it's just good having him back on the leaderboards.
Yeah. And I also feel that you just scared it out of me. I had it and you scared it out of me about what I was going to say about Ricky here.
Well, I tend to do that. It is Halloween season. Okay, I know we're only a week and a half away, but I'm bringing the fright already. Regardless, the theme it was playing out that it was just good for me to see Ricky back on the board because it had been so many years. I'm a diehard Ricky guy. I was buying the Puma shirts back in the day. Obviously, his stock has fallen tremendously, but his life is and his life on and off the course has gone to tremendous places regardless. So for whatever you can critique about maybe where his focus in life or golf has gone and his game has gone, it's unanimous that you got to like seeing him back on the board. He brings just a certain style and swagger to the game that not a lot of other players can.
Yeah. Now I remember what I was going to say. I'm not surprised actually that he didn't hold on and win, because having not been in that position for 4 or 5 years now and to finally come through and have a lead and play in that final group on a Sunday, you almost don't expect it really. You kind of expect him to fall back maybe and not be able to play at that level because the emotions are so different that he's not used to having. So that's what I was going to say about Ricky Fowler.
I'm glad you got that out. Good tidbit there indeed. But regardless, good to see both those guys back on the board. And yeah, Keegan ends up getting it done. Shout out to him.
Let's move on to other things going on in the world. LPGA was idle this past week, but they are headed to Korea for the third iteration of the BMW Ladies Championship this year. So the men were in Japan. Now the women are going to be in Korea. So we're still going to get some overnight golf this weekend.
Yes, I do like that. I love a good Wednesday, Thursday night broadcast, like a little extra treat that you don't think you should be getting as a golf fan, especially this time of year. So look out for that later this week.
That's true. This past weekend as well was the first of three kind of rapid succession tournaments where we were just a couple months ago at Twin Warriors out there in the shadow, or really Twin Warriors is shadowing the Hyatt Regency Tamaya out there. Just from
those beautiful Sandia Mountains were on display too.
Indeed, it was. And just great to see them putting on tournaments, and one of three that they're going to have over the next few months here.
Yeah, I saw our friend and past guest of the podcast, Derek Gutierrez, who runs the show there. He was the starter on the first tee. I love a good first tee starter intro, and he did a good job for the seniors there. And a tie back way, way back, Mike, to one of our first guests ever on the podcast, who played in the tournament there, the Senior Club Pro Championship, and qualified for the Senior PGA Championship. Talking about Jeff Breho, former PGA Tour player who we had one of our very first podcast episodes, finished inside the number out there at Twin Warriors and made it through. So he will be playing as a result in the Senior PGA Championship for that performance at a really cool track, which if you haven't seen, follow COL Podcast on Instagram for all of our golf content from there. Just a very unique venue, and I'm looking forward to seeing the future Club Pro events being hosted here as well.
Yes, indeed. Speaking of the Senior PGA, let's talk about the Champions Tour, because Freddie Couples maybe put up the best round of his career, shooting a 60 to have his first W in 5 years.
Freaking awesome, man. I loved seeing this. It's been a while for Fred Couples too. You know, he's a guy that has had lingering back problems for the better part of his professional career. So he takes a lot of time off, doesn't play a gigantic schedule, doesn't always have it 100% at events. You know, you always magically see him show up for a round or two at Augusta. That's going to happen for the rest of our lives. But good to see Boom Boom get really hot too. I think he had runs of like 5 and 7 birdies in a row in this round.
His back nine was a 30 where he birdied every hole from 12 on.
That is the most absurd finish, and that's so on brand for Freddie Boom Boom Couples getting it done. Just one of the original cool guys in golf that you and I grew up on, maybe even pre-Tiger cool. Mm-hmm. You know, he's been around that long and always just had that slow, effortless swing that got it done, a major championship in his own right, a couple of them, and cool to see him get it done again in style.
So I'd like to say that we're going to see Freddie contend at Augusta, but I don't think it'll be the case. But it'd be great to see if he has some kind of really awesome low round or some good shots this year.
Just that first round, you know, 70 or 69, get that in the clubhouse, get everyone buzzing. You'd love nothing more.
It's true. So the Champions Tour has 54 holes. There's also 54 holes on the LIV Tour.
Oh, correct.
The exhibition circuit where literally nobody was watching.
And I don't mean to pound on this feature, because this is something that a lot of people like to criticize or go in both directions on, but the crowd and lack of gallery these last couple of international events has been beyond sad. It's been non-existent. And it's funny, because here the LIV Tour was at the Jeddah Golf Club. they're right there. They're right in the heart of it all. Really, mm-hmm. really, where all this money and all this hubbub is coming from. You'd think maybe they could have gotten more of their friends and family out there. I don't know. It was just funny to see how ironically empty the crowd was for an event in Saudi Arabia where really this entire controversial league has stemmed from. An interesting juxtaposition this past week there on the Live.
You know, it's golf, but emptier. So
yes. Yeah. and complete silence when Taylor Gooch holed out a wedge from the fairway. Golf, but louder, not really resonating in these last mm-hmm. two events. It's very clear. Let me put it on the positive side for Liv. It's very clear they need to be stateside in the United States to get a real true buzz. We saw a little bit of it in London, tiny bit. But yep. they really are going to get any form of massive crowd. It's going to have to be in the United States first because they're not able to bring any sort of international golf audience in so far in season one.
Yeah. Brooks Koepka, though, he did shoot a 62 in that first round. I think for a brief time, there was thought that he could shoot a 59. But he finally wins on Live. I think this is his first win on the Live Tour as well.
Yeah, he got a little emotional. I don't know how real or fake that emotion was, but he said he was a little emotional. You know, he's pretty stone-faced in general. But yeah, shout out to Brooks for getting it done.
So this weekend, the PGA Tour heads back to a venue they've played at before, but for this tournament, the CJ Cup, it is a new venue for them.
Yes.
It is Congaree in Ridgeland, South Carolina, about an hour north of me from the Savannah area.
Nice.
Guess what? Rory McIlroy could become the number one player in the world with a win and with Scottie Scheffler doing really, really poorly.
Okay, yeah. I was about to say, how poorly does Scotty have to do for that to happen? I don't know how crazy that is, but interesting to see that Rory is creeping up on that one world number one ranking that Scheffler has held for so long since I watched him win at the match play in Austin. Jeez, it's been mm-hmm. That's how you know it's been a while. So he's been holding on to it ever since. So that is an interesting storyline, and the storyline really is the loaded field that they got here for the CJ Cup specifically. This is an event they played the 2021 Palmetto Invitational that Garrick Higo won mm-hmm. here about a year and a half ago, but now it looks like they're going to try and keep the CJ Cup here regularly. They got like 14, 15 out of the top 20 guys in the world in a pretty loaded field. It basically looks like, Mike, everyone had to either make the decision. Am I going to go play in Japan and not come back and go Vegas, Japan, South Carolina 3 weeks in a row? That's a bit much. Or am I just going to stay stateside, skip the Zozo and show up here? And it looks like everyone's coming to your backyard in the low country.
Yeah, I do think it's a problem with the schedule, and I think we're going to see this change anyway next year when they revamp the fall. But it is a problem to have a tournament all the way over in Japan, then come all the way back to the East Coast, really for this. So
you remember they had this in Korea. It originally used to be a Korea event that Justin Thomas dominated like all the time. So they moved it stateside regardless, but that's what's on tap this week. I'll start throwing one bomb out this week. You can check my runyourpool.com article out because it's out right now. But one person I can already tell you that's going to be in my pool plays, Tyrrell Hatton, 35-1 odds and finished in the top 10 when they had the Palmetto Invitational here about a year and a half ago. So he'll be part of that full betting preview. You can check out runyourpool.com.
Let's switch over to Tuned In, where we share what we're tuning into outside of the world of sports. You know, this past week, I've got some family and friends in town, and so we went kayaking, which is always a fun time. The weather right now in October in Savannah is perfect. It's like high 70s, maybe low 80s. It's dry. Yes. It's nice and cool in the mornings. So I did a trip that we've done before. We went out with Savannah Canoe and Kayak Company, which if you come here, that's the place you want to go to get a kayak tour. We did Ebenezer Creek, which if you remember, Alex, I did in the spring through the Tupelo Groves.
Oh, very movie-like setting there. That was, yes.
I did go ahead and I put a photo and a reel up on my Instagram at MWRINC so you can check it out. It is just gorgeous. It is so unique, and it's like a lazy river too. You don't need to paddle too hard. You're not going against any current or anything. You see some wildlife out there too. We saw some turtles, no gators this time around. But it's just it's just a good way to kind of spend your day. It's only about 2.5 hours out there on the water.
Nice.
It's just relaxing. You get to commune with nature. And I know that's maybe a bit of a ironic thing to say or weird thing to say these days. It doesn't have the meaning that it really should, but you do get to kind of see everything and these cool trees and the how calm it is out there and just the craziness that Mother Nature can pull out kind of create beauty with.
We're golfers at heart. We love the nature in any form. So I love that experience. And I love your water level camera shot too. Gives it some really nice perspective out there.
Yes.
That was a cool adventure indeed. I'm putting you on the spot now for my tuned in. Mm. We did not discuss this at the forefront, but there was a massive Hollywood movie role announcement that hit the world of golf this past weekend.
Yes.
Do you know what I'm referring to?
I do indeed. We're getting a John Daly biopic.
Very much so. Yes. I can't imagine how crazy and off the walls this is going to be. I'm really hoping this is good and rated R stuff too. And playing the role of John Daly, none other than Jonah Hill. Your initial reaction and thoughts when you saw that headline?
I think he's a little short.
Yeah, probably. Yes. Give him some platform shoes. Yeah.
That said, I mean, physically, he's probably the closest looking. And Jonah Hill is certainly a fantastic actor. We've seen him come a long way from whatever that comedy was that I'm forgetting the name of back.
Super Bad.
Thank you.
Yeah.
He's come a long way from that. So, you know, he's certainly got the game. I don't know. I actually don't know if he's a good golfer or not, but we're going to have to get him on the podcast so he can tell us about, you know, his game and then what the movie's going to be like.
We are. And if the producers, directors, or studio are hearing this, we'd love to have him or any cast member on to preview the film as it gets going and gets made here. But the thing that will break the internet for sure is once we get him in the full John Daly makeup and blonde hair from his younger days. And then we're going to get that still, you know, like before the movie comes out, you get those still shots of what they look like on set. Mm-hmm. That's going to break the, there's going to be a lot of critiquing when that comes out for sure. I'm curious to see how they pull that look off.
Yeah. This is going to be exciting just in general.
That's going to be a good must watch. We'll be following the, all the proceedings with that movie getting made, but Jonah Hill as John Daly coming to a theater near you.
Let's go ahead and get into this week's guest. We've got a Kaylin Henderson. She's a newly turned professional. It's got some impressive amateur wins under her belt in the state of Indiana. She's had the opportunity to be part of a broadcast team for the NCAA National Championships on the Golf Channel as well. Alex, you have a kind of a wide range of conversation with her during this, from her, you know, turning pro as well as some of her content that she puts out on social as well.
It's very unique content because it does dabble in an interesting area of the internet, which is always fun to talk about, which is obviously religion-based, but Kaylin does a really awesome job about putting kind of golf and life in perspective from her vantage point. And that really shines through in her content. And she has an awesome personality that shines through here. So I look forward to everyone hearing this conversation with Kaylin Henderson.
And we'll get to that conversation in just a moment. But first, let's talk about Tee Up Golf. These are the guys that make they make some sick polos, but they also make really comfortable joggers. That's right. Michael, the guy who constantly says Justin Thomas should not be wearing joggers out on the golf course, is telling you, listener, let Tee Up Golf makes comfortable joggers that I have worn multiple times. Unfortunately, I haven't gotten out on the course yet, so I can't report there. But I can say I'm excited to wear them on the course sometime during the fall here because I just like them out and about on town. They help kind of dress down a little bit. They look good. They got nice deep pockets, which is nice as well, which I know is going to be good out on the golf course for that as well. And they've got, I don't know what color you got, Alex. I got this kind of nice electric blue, kind of dark electric blue.
Yeah.
And it's sharp. It's sharp. Let me say that.
This is unironically the best endorsement you could really ever give because you were at one point against the idea of putting pant on you. And now here you are telling us how much you love them.
Here's what I would say is that I think what I really don't like when I see a jogger is no socks. I think that's part of my problem when I see like 2 inches of skin between the bottom of the jogger and the shoe.
Okay, so the length is hitting just right from Tee Up Golf.
The length is right, and I still wear socks with them. So that's what I'm saying. But if you don't want to wear socks with them or you want to wear no-show socks, that's perfectly fine too.
Crazy.
You do your own. And you can save 15% off your purchase of some Tee Up Golf joggers with the code COL15. So you can get those pretty easily, whatever you want. It's teeupstore.com and use our code again, COL15, to save 15%.
Next up on the tee from Indiana, she's a recently turned pro golfer. She's done some work for the Golf Channel and created some very listen-worthy content as well, not only for golfers, but for everyone out there through social media. It's Kaylin Henderson joining the Course of Life. Kaylin, how are you tonight?
Good. How are you doing?
Doing very good. Really glad that we could have you on. I think you have a very unique perspective on the game, and I love what you're doing on Instagram and social right now. It's chendo23 on Instagram as well. What's the 23? Is that your favorite number? Is that a Michael Jordan tribute? What is that?
So 23, I mean, I was born June 23rd, so it just seemed kind of fitting.
Got it. That makes sense. In terms of golf, I know you're a pro now, so you've obviously worked your way really nicely through the amateur ranks, which we'll talk about as well. But what are your earliest memories of the game? Maybe what first struck you growing up playing golf?
So what first struck me is I started playing golf when I was 3 years old, so extremely young. And it was actually my dad who got me into the game. So him and my brother would go out all the time, play golf. And I was kind of jealous. I'm like, what the heck? I want to do this too. And so my mom went and bought me a cute little pink golf outfit. And I just would wait on the driveway for my dad, wait for him to come home. And he finally was like, okay, I'm going to take you. And so what really was awesome is he just started me out putting. Because I see so many young golfers, their parents will take them to the driving range immediately and they get so discouraged. But he took me out putting first and doing short game. And like, we'd play for like a Snickers bar or something. And he just made it super fun for me. And that's kind of why I love golf.
Nice. That's good. I appreciate the relatable kid goals for you there, because you're so right about that. And kids will go to a range and not be able to get the ball off the ground. And then they see their parent or their coach hitting the ball 200 yards out into the range. And that definitely does strike a little negative vibe when you're first learning the game. So I appreciated the way you kind of learned it progressively.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you have to be positive in literally everything you do, especially as a kid. Like, you don't want to just start them off with all this like negativity and discouragement. So that was definitely the way to start.
Very cool. Obviously, you have a lot of faith forward and worship content. We'll get to Worship Wednesday shortly, but I want to talk to about an upbringing that you and I share. We both had an upbringing that was very religion and faith-based commitment. That created a really great grounding for me just in life. Aside from all the religion, just the act of having that in my life was really important to me. Talk to me about your upbringing with religion and faith-based commitment and how that kind of formed who you are today.
Yeah. So my family, they've always been pretty religious. So I grew up going to a non-denominational Christian church. And it was incredible. Absolutely loved it. My relationship with God has always been very solid. But in college, I wanted to like join, you know, a Christian group or just something. And I felt like I was never like my relationship with God was not deepening. I'm like, okay, what's going on? So long story short, I actually converted to being Catholic. So, I mean, Christian Catholic, it's the same thing, really. Just we believe in like one different thing, which is the Eucharist, the bread and the wine of Christ. Okay. But anyways, that really catapulted my relationship with the Lord. Like, I've never been so happy, and just everything in my life just kind of came all together because my relationship with Christ was deepening. And so that really catapulted me into just doing all of these things for him. And I'm now involved in like this youth ministry. Like I volunteer for them. So it's just like all these different things are just like coming together. And it is like, if I did not have God, I mean, I wouldn't have been.
I love that. Very well said. One thing I will do, I'll make a little bit of a leap, which is a fun comparison to make because the game does have us thinking about anything and everything. Your relationship with religion and God as it pertains to golf, it's a frustrating game. And I asked this question kind of half serious and half jokingly, but how do you think your relationship with God and religion has maybe helped your golf game in life?
You know, it's really helped me because you know, when you go out and you play golf and let's say you play poorly in a tournament or something like that, you almost feel like golf is your identity. Yeah. But when God is the first, you know, your priority in life, you're like, no, golf is not my identity. Like God is my identity. And that has been huge for me just because if you think of golf as your identity, you are going to be put down many times. Let me tell you that. And so just having God at the center of your life and being like, okay, there's more important things. This is just golf.
Yeah. And I think that speaks to anyone of any religion too. It's just that idea of having a higher, better purpose and understanding. As much as we love and get obsessed with this game, it is just a game at that. And we have to allow ourselves to have that perspective. So I appreciate that thought.
Exactly. Yes.
Very cool. So tell me about growing up. Obviously, you played the game competitively. I did too. Everyone who played it growing up always had the dreams of being on TV and seeing themselves be a pro. Maybe when was the moment when it actually felt realistic or attainable that you could turn pro and play the game professionally?
You know, that's a good question, because like when I was growing up, all I wanted to do was be on the LPGA. Like, it's always been in my head. And I'm like, any goal is actually attainable. You just have to put in the work. And, you know, if that's God's plan for you, it is. If it's not, oh, well, something else will happen. But I mean, really my whole life, I've been wanting to go to the LPGA, especially in college. In college, I'm like, okay, I can actually see this as my profession. You know, things have been kind of lining up in that direction. And so really my whole life, I've wanted to go pro.
That's awesome. Very cool. So you've had that in the back of your brain for a long time, for sure. Let's highlight a really great win that you had, which stuck out and definitely got a lot of publicity. I believe it was the Indiana State Women's Amateur victory recently. Talk us through what it's like winning a tournament of that stature. I know you've qualified for USGA championships and a lot of different tournaments, but to actually take home the trophy and win the tournament, what was that experience like for you?
Yeah, this one, it felt really good, just because I've been putting in so much work recently. I mean, I always have, but this tournament, I've been really trying to make like the worst part of my game the best. And normally the worst part is my short game, and I kind of struggle with that. Okay. And so before leading up to this tournament, all I was working on is short game. I literally would go to the range for 10 minutes every day. I would normally spend like 2 hours there every day. So like completely changed my routine. And at this tournament, my short game was actually paying off. I'm like, holy cow, this is what scores. And so it was just eye-opening for me. And the win just felt so good, especially because so many incredible people have won this tournament, like Julia Potter, Erica Shepherd, like all of these big names. So it did feel really good.
Nice. Congrats on the victory. And obviously that was a great victory to kind of catapult you into turning pro officially, which just happened in the last couple of months in August, you mentioned before we hopped on. Just tell me about what that moment was like for you. To me, I hear the story of people turning pro. It still feels daunting to me in my mind. The idea of turning pro, creating that schedule and setting forth on your own. What went into that decision?
Yeah, so it was definitely a hard decision, just because turning pro, I mean, you're like completely releasing your amateur status. Like, it's just a scary moment almost. But I was talking to my swing coach, his name's Gabe Sauer. He's actually Bubba Watson's caddy. And like nice. Him and I have gotten really close over the past couple of years. And he said, Kaylin, he said, what do you want to be in your future? I said, the LPGA. And he goes, and are you going to make money from that? And I said, yes. He goes, so why not turn pro? He's like, you're just in the state of just like, he's like, just do it. I said, okay. And so when I was signing up for Q school, a lot of people think that turning pro is like this huge process. No, you literally just like click a button saying I'm turning pro. And like you enter a tournament as a professional. Like, it's actually very simple, and it's scary because it's literally the click of a button, but I'm very
interesting.
Happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the schedule, obviously you had your first attempt at Q school, but beyond that, the fall and winter, what's tournaments golf looking like for you, and what's potentially, the plan for the next, you know, 3-6 months of your pro golf life?
Yeah. So I'm going to start play of, partial status on the Epson Tour. And so I'm going to try and get in a couple of those events, as many as I can with them. And then I'm also going to play on the East Coast Women's Pro Tour. It's just like another mini professional tour. And then I'll try and get on a few for the WAPT Tour. And those ones are mainly in Texas. But so I'll probably be all over the place this year.
Yeah, very busy schedule indeed. And it's exciting to kind of see what path you're going to pay for yourself the next few months here. Let's get to some of the cool content that I'd seen from your Instagram. Again, it's chendo23 on IG. We have to talk about Worship Wednesday, which is, I think, how I originally found you. These reels and these cool little excerpts that you do are really nice because they offer a lot of perspective and yours on golf and life. They're very relatable, but I appreciate that they're not too like overly preachy. How did Worship Wednesday come to be, and what do you enjoy most about creating that content?
Yeah, so basically, I started doing Worship Wednesday because I was doing this Bible study like every single week. I'm like, okay, if I am gaining so much like knowledge and just like literally happiness from this, why not share that with other people? And I like how you said it's not overly preachy, because I try and stay away from that because it turns people off. It really does.
Yeah.
And I try and post things that are just very relatable for people, just so it's like everyone can be included in it. And I was just getting so much like happiness from doing these Bible studies. And the whole point of it was I just wanted to share it with people. That's really all it is.
It's awesome. I appreciate it. Definitely keep it up, because you talk about a lot of important aspects, not only of the mental aspect of the game of golf, but how it pertains to everything going on in your life as well too. One other neat piece of work I saw you did recently was the work you did for Golf Channel covering the NCAAs, which is an event that I feel like, fortunately, due to TV coverage, has gotten a lot more shine and limelight in recent years. What was your experience like being on the grounds for what's a quite intense event?
Oh, it was truly incredible. I had absolutely no idea what to expect going into it. But when I got there, just like the atmosphere that I was in, it was incredible. And my favorite part about the whole thing was just interviewing the players. Because like, for instance, I interviewed like Cole Hammer, like all of these guys, Cameron Sisk, just all of these guys who are playing on the tour right now, they're on like Canada PGA and whatever. So the whole process was incredible. I loved interviewing the players and just getting to know them. But it was really just like the atmosphere. It was incredible. All the people there. And one of my favorite parts as well was literally just watching the guys. I mean, I learned so much like from their short game and things like that. I mean, these guys, they were phenomenal.
Yeah. And for those who haven't seen the NCAAs, it culminates with very intense head-to-head match play. It's not your traditional stroke play finish. So it leads to a lot of team drama, and there's a lot of drama on the final holes of every match. I'll shout out my hometown here of Austin, Texas, because the Longhorns came through again. The last championship they had was the Jordan Spieth, Dylan Fratelli team about a little over a decade ago. And they're back in the winner's circle with another national championship team. Tell me about your time with the Longhorns that you got to spend right after they won, and that women winning moment for you, T.
Yeah, so it was hilarious, because as a media person, you're not really, you really should not choose sides, but it was so hard not to be with the Longhorns, because I met all of like their like donors and things like that. And at the very last hole, all the donors were like, come on in, Kaylin, like go inside the ropes, like let's go to the green. I'm like, all right, let's do it. And so when they sunk that final putt, oh my goodness, it was incredible. And after, they all were like lined up on the green and they were all singing like their Texas song.
I'm not exactly. The Eyes of Texas, of course, the fight song.
Yes, that one, the fight song. And I actually got goosebumps, because I'm like, holy cow, there is such a large community here. And then after, you know, we were taking pictures with all of them and just the community that they have, it is truly incredible. And I'm a Longhorn fan. Let's just say that.
Me too. And it's national championship or bust for any Texas Longhorns team, no matter what program or sport. So for them to hold that pressure and go back and do it again, really impressive stuff. Tell me about your time. I saw you got to interview Cole Hammer, a guy that I think the golf world's going to get to hear a lot about in the coming years. He was victorious on that team, had some amateur success as well too. What struck you the most about him as just a personality and a player?
Yeah. So when I was interviewing him, like the questions that I asked all the players, they were just like personal questions. They were just fun questions, really not pertaining to golf. And so Cole's personality, it's so good. Like a lot of people think golfers are like very serious and things like that. No, I think he has a very goofy personality, actually. Super down to earth. And his family, his mom and dad, they are so sweet. Yeah. He comes from a very good family, just a goofy guy.
Nice. And I don't know if you know this, but he's got a really cool sponsorship. The first golfer to be sponsored by the Brady brand, Tom Brady's like kind of luxury leisure line. It looks very impressive. Really cool partnership he forged recently.
Yeah, I saw that. I'm like, wow, that sounds great to be a part of.
I know. Very unique. Cool. Yeah. Kaylin Henderson again here. CHendo23 on Instagram if you want to follow along and check out her content. Let's get to some quick shot questions, all the rest of the stuff we didn't get to. Your thoughts on the LIV Golf event you attended? Obviously, LIV Golf is big time in the news and has been this entire year. Which event did you go to, and kind of what was your biggest takeaway?
Yeah. So I just got back from one of the events. I went to the one in Chicago because it's literally like a 3-hour drive from my house. It was just very interesting. I wanted to go see it for myself.
Yeah.
And the environment is way different. I mean, when I like got there, music just blaring, and there were like games everywhere. And on the first tee, they were like, they had a microphone. They were like, get hype. And I'm like, what is going on here? The one part that I really did like about it though, was it's not stuffy at all. Golf can be a very stuffy sport, and they actually really did make it like enjoyable to be a part of music. That's the part that I liked about it. But I just wanted to go see it for myself. And that's what I did.
Yeah, I agree with that. I appreciate the getting rid of the stuffiness. And I think there's a perfect line in between that louder intensity of LIV Golf and what the PGA Tour product is. I think there's somewhere about halfway in between, which if we get there, when we do, is going to be really awesome.
I do agree, because I feel like I would love if the PGA Tour like took little aspects like that and applied it to them. I think it would just be incredible.
Very cool. You had a very interesting, profoundly weird golf shot where you hit a bunker shot recently on Instagram that hit the back of the cup in the air and did not go in. Was that the weirdest golf shot you've ever hit, or have you done stranger things?
Oh, that was a weird one. Let me tell you. I mean, I've had a lot where I like hit the pin and it like bounces in the water. Like that's happened to me multiple times, but I've never had a ball land at the back of the cup, make like a ball mark, and then bounce right. Like it was the weirdest golf shot ever. And I got it on video. It was so funny.
Yeah, that was a strange one. I haven't quite made that type of impact with the hole, especially around the green. So everyone go check that out for yourself. Also, running the bases challenge. I think I got to try that. I'm not sure if I can beat 14 seconds. Do you think you can go faster than that?
I don't know. It was hilarious too, because I just had like tennis shoes on and it was that gravel. The first time I thought I did two takes on that one, because the first time I did slip, I probably should have put that
yep.
in.
Yep.
You have to like, when you're going around the bases, you got to like slow down a little bit and then speed up. But no, it was so fun.
Yeah. You got to take those corners pretty lightly, especially at my feeble age too. So, you know, you gotta be careful. I'll have to try that and see what my time is.
You should.
What's a cool, maybe course that you can put on people's radar in Indiana where you are that people should go play if they ever venture through the state?
I would say Sultan's Run. I actually just got back from playing there. It's in Southern Indiana. It's called Jasper, Indiana specifically. And it does not feel like you are in Indiana. I mean, it's super hilly. The views are just gorgeous, but yeah, Sultan's Run is awesome.
Okay, I'll have to look that up. Nice. Yeah. Love adding those to people's radar. Appreciate that. And then we love finishing with our 19th hole question. When you get in from a great round on the course into the clubhouse, what's your go-to order for your favorite meal and drink?
Oh my goodness, this one is so easy. Everyone who knows me will know this. I do a chicken Caesar salad, sweet potato fries with barbecue and ranch, and a root beer.
Oh, wow. That is so detailed. And you spit it out very fast, so I can tell it's a regular order as well.
Oh, very regular.
what's the best chicken Caesar salad? What's the best one you've had? Do you know?
Oh, that is so tough. One of the best ones I've had is actually at Grindstone on the Monon. I think it might be a local restaurant. I'm not sure. Okay. But that one's been the best one. But golf course? I don't know, honestly.
Yeah, well, the chicken Caesar and the chicken Caesar wrap seems to come up a lot when I ask this question. So
no way. That's funny. The wraps are really good too.
Very popular pick. Awesome. Kaylin, thank you so much for joining the Course of Life. Looking forward to following your professional career and what it has in store for you, and hit them straight as well.
Thank you so much. It was so nice meeting you.
And we're back. Great chat there with Kaylin. Really interesting to hear kind of her perspective on everything and how her faith has really tied into what she does in this Worship Wednesday and this way to kind of ground herself in the game, and how everyone kind of uses you know, their life experiences in different ways to kind of give them purpose.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I appreciate how like her content's like not super like overly preachy, and she has a very unique perspective. And I love the energy that she gives off on and off the course. And it was great having her as a guest, and cool to have her there for the Hook'em Horns win. Shout out to the Longhorns getting it done there with Cole Hammer on the squad. So yeah, neat perspective from Kaylin. Be sure to follow her, CHendo23 on Instagram, and we'll definitely have her back on again.
And if you like that conversation with Kaylin, plus everything else we do here on this podcast, make sure you hit that subscribe button on the podcast app you're using right now. You can also follow us on Instagram, COL Podcast. He's Course of Life Alex on Instagram. I'm at MDBRINC. Twitter is where we talk during the week about golf and other things in sports. You can find us there. He's at Course of Life 1. I'm at MWRINC.
Nailed it.
Let's talk football.
We were all over the place on football this weekend.
Before we get into your picks, Alex, I have been to the University of Tennessee. I have seen the Tennessee River. I have not been in Neyland Stadium, but I have been around it many times.
How great is that waterside venue, by the way? One of the few college football stadiums where you can pull your boat up, tailgate on your boat, and then walk into the game. Pretty cool.
I mean, the University of Tennessee in Knoxville is just a gorgeous campus. It's hilly. It's really hilly. It's a little difficult to walk around the place, but it is a gorgeous town in general in that part of the state. But it was just crazy to see that scene when Tennessee got it just barely over the goalpost and then decided to escort that goalpost out the door, down the road and into the river.
Yes. Yeah, the knuckleball got over and Tennessee defeated Alabama for the first time in like 15 games against Nick Saban. Huge, massive program shifting win for them in the SEC. The thing about the goalpost is it never usually really makes it further than like being taken down and walked somewhere around the field. That's like usually the end of the story with the goalpost. What these volunteer students did was like absolutely extra and way too much the most. I didn't even realize that that was a thing. You could take it out that far, but they did.
Yeah, it was pretty incredible what they were able to do with it. And so because of all this, the University of Tennessee was A, slapped with a fine.
Yep.
$100,000 fine. And B, they now need to replace the goalpost for the next game. So they actually started a GoFundMe page. The University of Tennessee, which has a $5 million a year salary for their head coach.
Yes.
And they rake in millions upon millions of dollars in their football and basketball and other athletic programs, started a $150,000 GoFundMe page. And they're going to make it. No problem.
I'm seeing the irony there in that delivery of this story, Mike. I think we'll play it there. Yes. Maybe not entirely necessary to have the GoFundMe. But yes, don't worry. They'll get that money very fast, the replacement goalposts.
I especially like the president who was in attendance of the game. There's a video going around Twitter where he was asked, like, how do you feel about this? You got to buy a new goalpost. And he's like, it's fine. We'll do it every year if we have to. So,
yeah, cost of beating Bama, $100,000. Yeah. Fine. Done. I'll take it.
Done.
The picks were, in summation, interesting because they were 50-50. It was a 50-50 split, 6 wins, 6 losses if you followed on Twitter. But the important lesson here, Mike, again, is to be following our friends at Run Your Pool and my weekly articles. Because if you just took those 5 games that I picked early in the week in my college football weekly preview, you went 4-1. So that's really the lesson here, is to follow the Run Your Pool preview in addition to myself on Twitter, so you can get the full scope of what I like each week.
Now, that really only pertains to the college side of the ball, because if we go to the professional side, your Run Your Pool picks were 0-5.
Absolutely, tragically horrible and unforgivable. I owe a full-fledged apology. I am on hand and knee with my hands in a prayer formation, begging to you for forgiveness, to come back for one more week and see if I can't right the wrong that I've committed. I'm terribly ashamed. Overall, the season is still around 500, so to be salvaged for sure. But putting up a bagel on an NFL Sunday, never a good thing. There's no excuses for that one.
No, that was pretty bad. But let's talk more about our specific favorite teams, because that's what we like to do here, too. Alex, who is the starting quarterback of the New England Patriots?
That question is being asked for the first time in a while since Mac Jones, Cam Newton. And then before that, Tom Brady, Drew Bledsoe of 2001 is the last time we were having that conversation. But it is full blown QB controversy. The Pats cruise again to a 38-15 victory. They're now 3-3. I have an announcement, Mike. I thought we had gotten through the pandemic and testing positive, but lo and behold, I took a test. I've tested positive for Zappy fever. I have the Bailey Zappy fever. It is running through me. I am symptomatic. I'm going to have to quarantine because I got it bad, and I want my rookie Bailey Zappy starting at quarterback. What a crazy world.
You want Bailey Zappy as quarterback over Mac Jones. You're done with Mac Jones.
I am not done with Mac Jones. I am with Bailey Zappy starting at quarterback as long as he's playing and producing at the rate he is right now through 2.5 games. That's the statement. Not done with Mac Jones, but ready to continue moving forward with Bailey Zappy for the immediate future. Again, I've tested positive for the fever, so at this point, I just kind of have to give in to the sickness. You know what I mean?
All right. We'll see what happens as the season continues. You know what else continues to happen as the season continues?
This is wild.
The New York Football Giants continue to come back and find ways to win football games as they beat the Ravens and are now 5-1.
What? in a game where they were outgained by more than 200 yards, not just to any team, okay? It's one thing if the Lions or the Browns, let's take the last Patriots two opponents right there, outgained you by 200 yards. Those teams can still lose that game. But when the Baltimore Ravens have Lamar Jackson at the helm and they outgain you by 200 yards, they win that game 99 times out of 100.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. And the NFC East as a whole is just kind of crazy because the Eagles are still undefeated.
Yeah.
The Commanders, right, are also 5-1,
I believe it is. Yeah, for bringing up the rear, yeah.
Yeah, so
and
you know,
Cowboys get Dak Prescott back. So
yeah, so you know, it's interesting to see because when I look at the schedule and I see whether or not I think the Giants can win football games, I mean they've beaten the Packers.
That's a playoff team at the end. It's as much as weird as they look. So
the only team we've lost to is unfortunately the Cowboys.
Yeah, so, playoff team as I mean, well in their own right, and you beat the Ravens. So I mean the resume so is kind of there. It's crazy as it is.
I will say the two big games, obviously looking at the schedule for the Giants and the really the next big test is when they play the Eagles at home at the Meadowlands. And then the season ends Giants and Eagles. That could be a huge game.
Yes, that will definitely impact some sort of seeding. I can't believe I just put Giants in the same sense as seeding. Wow. Okay.
This is the first time in a while that the Giants most likely will not be backing into the playoffs.
Yes, that's right. Good memories indeed. Love it. Good stuff.
We're not really going to talk baseball because my Yankees are playing game 5 this evening, Monday night. We record on our Monday afternoon as usual. So, but I'm very surprised that the NL has gone nowhere according to plan. The top seeds in the National League are gone.
Well, that is worth mentioning. The Dodgers laying a massive egg the way they did after the season they had. Very surprising. Mets did something of the similar nature as well, if you think about it. And then obviously just of what's to come, the Astros, they're back. They're back again. Yeah. Everyone hates it, but here they are again. They did it.
I mean, I feel like this opens the floodgates for if the Yankees win against the Guardians and it's Yankees Astros, I feel like the World Series is going to go to whoever wins the AL.
We said that a month ago. So our predictions have been on point from that perspective.
So, but I really hope it's not the Astros. I really hope it's not the Astros.
Shout out to the trash cans.
In the meantime, though, let's also talk briefly about Quinnipiac hockey, college hockey. I have to shout out the Bobcats. The men rolled into North Dakota this weekend, who, if you remember, we played in the national championship game.
I do. They're a powerhouse, too.
The game that I went to in Tampa.
Yeah,
and I don't like to talk about that game. We played two games in North Dakota this weekend. We had a huge lead in the first game and then we blew it and we ended up tying them. But then we were able to blow out North Dakota in game 2. We are now number 3 in the polls.
That's a big weekend, especially on the road. And I think we had a mutual friend of ours who went to Quinnipiac that was there for the games and got to see them as well, too, which is a cool sight. But yeah, that's always big when you can go on the road against a powerhouse team like that. And not only like get a split, you can do much better. You can get a loss and a tie. So very impressive for the Bobcats early.
Yep. Women only had one game in conference game, remain undefeated, still number 7 in the polls. But go Bobcats. Go Bobcats. Let's hashtag always end with food.
Yeah. Always end with food. Our food podcast ender every week talking about our food journeys. And mine took me to the north, Illinois. Got a little taste of fall. I was up there for a wedding weekend to see my and the wife's family. So basically the main highlights, obviously, follow Always End With Food on Instagram. And you can check out the reel and the story I created, my journey to the Italian beef sandwich that I covet so much at Portillo's. Hopefully we get those going here in the Austin, Texas market pretty soon. But for now, it was just all Italian beef in Illinois. And then the other thing I got to shout out for you, Mike, is in Illinois, they fancy themselves, deep dish aside, I'm talking outside of Chicago, they fancy themselves on square cut thin crust pizza. Where do you stand on like a square cut thin crust pizza?
So one of the wife's favorite pizza places from the Midwest is called Donato's.
Yes.
I don't know if you've been to a Donato's.
Familiar with it, yeah.
Yes. So they opened one here in Savannah, and we frequent it far too often.
Okay.
And they're known for thin crust pizza in squares and rectangles, and that's the way they cut it. When it's a thin crust and the crust holds up, it holds up really well, and I actually am a big fan of it.
Yeah, we had a great thin crust square cut, amazing sauce as well too. And then shout out the wedding food, maybe the best past apps I've seen in a while. A+ charcuterie,
crab cakes.
There were crab cakes. There were stuffed mushrooms. There were pretzels and queso. There were meatballs. There were caprese. There was everything. And I had a lovely wedding steak that had a flower on the plate. I now want every steak with a flower on my plate for the rest of my life. That's a new rule. So
interesting.
But good times. Yeah, good fall vibes in Illinois. And it was good to get a taste of the cool weather for a few days.
Mm-hmm. Alex, I have an important question to ask you, though.
Yes.
How many days in a row is too many days in a row to having a meal out?
Yes. Yeah, this is the champagne problem segment of the podcast I mentioned at the top here. I mean, for me, you know me, when I'm on vacation in Florida, I mean, we could go several days in a row.
Let me reframe the question to when you're at home.
Yeah, at home, it's hard. I mean, if you get more than like two or three meals in a row, and it's starting to get a little bit questionable at that point.
Yeah, because we did last week. We were exhausted on Wednesday. We went out for dinner on Wednesday. Thursday, we didn't eat out on Thursday, but we did some shopping. We had to go out and like hit the stores late, so we got something like a pre-made meal to bring home and cook. So we didn't really cook
money on food.
And then we went out Friday night. We went out Saturday night. Went out for lunch on Sunday after kayaking, and then we finally cooked something like from scratch Sunday night. And after the meal, I turned to Abby and I was like, oh, it's so nice just to cook your own food.
Yeah, it's the mix. It is a little harder to swallow when you're just at home. I think it's so much easier when you're in the vacation brain to just want to go out for like every lunch and dinner you can. But yeah, it's harder when you're at home. So obviously, though, good to get the mix in. I guess you just had yourself a little staycation. You didn't even know it.
It didn't feel like that. I'll say that. It didn't feel like anything like that.
Regardless, that was Always End With Food. Again, follow Always End With Food and COL Podcast on Instagram. We thank you for tuning in. If you made it this far, you need to subscribe right now. We're giving you a moment to do it. We appreciate you being here. Thanks for joining. We'll see you next week.